Hello once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and it's my joy to bring you some nuggets of truth from the Word of God. I would like to share with you from Luke and chapter 8 and verse 40 we'll start at, where we read that Jesus returned and the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. There's a great difference between this expression in verse 40 and the fact that the people, when they saw what happened to the man that was a lunatic, they were worried. They asked him to leave their country. But here, they had heard about this, and they wanted very much to have the Lord Jesus in their midst. So we find them waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus. He was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as Jesus went, the crowds were pressing against him. Now, in the crowd, a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone, came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Jesus said, "Who is the one that touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, and I was aware that power had gone out of me." When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before Jesus and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher any more." But when Jesus heard this, he answered him, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she will be made well." When he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. Now they were all weeping and lamenting for the girl. But he said, "Stop weeping, for she has not died, but she is asleep." And they began laughing at Jesus, knowing that she had died. He, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up immediately, and he gave orders for something to be given her to eat. The parents were amazed, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. Now, there are two things that have happened here. Here is a girl about 12 years old. This is a very interesting little facet, if you like. This girl is about 12 years old, and the woman had had a hemorrhage for 12 years. What significance that is, I don't really know. But it is interesting, isn't it, that 12 and 12 have added up here in this one story. And the Lord Jesus went to the man and was going to his house. Very interesting thing. The man was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to the house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years old, and she was dying. But he went, and the crowds were pressing against him. Now, when something is done that is spiritual, the person that is involved in leading that spiritual happening knows about it. When we have children of our own, we know when a child is wrong. We don't have to be told. Nobody has to make a report to us. We know, especially we fathers, God has given us the ability to see into the mind of what's going on, and we can understand it. And we can make a difference. And that's one reason why we need to get fathers to be right with the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can talk to their children sensibly about the things of the world and the things that are happening within the world and the things that do happen to our children. We have children that are terribly ill. I remember there's a fellow who was in our congregation. He was a little chap, just born. And I went to see his parents, and he, when I got to the hospital, gloom and doom was all over the ward, and people were so upset. And I said, "What's going on here?" The parents told me he has a hole in his heart. And they were filled with doom and gloom. The prognosis was hopeless. And the doctors weren't very encouraging. And I couldn't help but listen to myself saying, "But he's in the hands of the Lord Jesus. He belongs to him. Don't worry. Place him in the hands of Jesus and move away. Let the Lord work in his life." And, you know, the medical profession don't care to hear that sort of thing always. One of the doctors was looking at me a bit askance and wondering what religious idiot this was that had just walked in. But I assured them that he was in the hands of the Lord Jesus and they didn't have to be bothered with him because they had to give themselves to prayer. Notice the words of the version I'm using here. "The man fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come into his house." And we three, the husband and the wife and I, we implored the Lord Jesus to take part and to make things different. And that young fellow wasn't supposed to live much beyond a few months, and he did. Then he wasn't supposed to last very many years, but he has. And he's now about 6 foot tall, and he's one of the most charming young men you've ever met. And if you were to go to that church where he goes with his parents, you would be amazed that this young fellow had such a start in life. God is still doing miracles, and miracles do happen. Of course, the medical profession is extraordinarily well equipped to do things these days, but Jesus will not leave the parent, and he will not desert the man that says, "Oh, come to my house, please, I have a problem," or "Come into my experience because my problem is bigger than I think you can deal with. You're the only person that can deal with my problem." Now look at your own life. If you have a mirror handy, go and have a look at yourself. Now, don't faint with what you see, but just have a look at yourself. Do you have problems? The answer, for the most part, is yes. Whether it's a parent that is dying and won't die, or whether you have been preparing a child for school and the child won't learn, there's a myriad of problems out there. Now, the good news, the gospel, is that Jesus can turn this stuff around. He can alter the course where the doctors cannot. Doctors can take a hold of a body and sew it up. They can medicate it and help it in those ways. But they can't change the basic problem of anyone's body. The basic problem of illness is always in front of us. I'm not pretending to understand it. Well, now, while Jesus is sort of going to the house with the man, there's a crowd of people, and they all press and push and shove and ask questions, and they're demanding his time and his energy, and it's all flowing out of him. Some years ago, I had an experience. I was preaching in India, and there, I'm told, was 26,000 people there. But in an annex tent, beside the big tent that we were all in, there was 400 people, and I had witnessed one man had no hands, but he had feet, and he was piggyback carrying a fellow with no feet, but had hands. And so they accommodated each other. One was using his hands, the other used his feet. And apparently these two men had been for several years quite inseparable, and they had worked together. And I stood there, I was in tears. It was a terrible thing to have to observe. But my hosts gathered themselves and sent messengers to me through some of the young men that I was to get out of that part. Didn't I know that leprosy could get me? I don't believe it can. And that day I didn't believe it could, and it didn't. And I stood and talked to these people. Now, I didn't touch them, and they wouldn't get so close that I could touch them. But we had conversations about the Lord Jesus. I was witnessing Jesus coming into the life of these people that love the Lord, and it came in a new way. That's good news. That's the gospel. Now, we so often take the word gospel, and it means that the preacher stands up, teaches about heaven and hell and the burning thereof and all the dreadful things that are going to take place, and then he has us all sign a card, come forward, have a prayer, and we call that the preaching of the gospel. I don't think that is the preaching of the gospel. I think the preaching of the gospel is revealed in the life of the person who has received Christ as Savior. And there is always comfort, always helpfulness. Well, the Lord Jesus was pushed and shoved, and he perceived that something had happened. Power had gone out of his being, and the power had gone from him, and he said, "Who touched me?" Peter said, "There's this crowd around you. Why do you ask who touched you? That's a crazy thing to say. Who touched you?" Jesus said, "I perceive that something very special went on, and one person touched me for a specific reason." And when the woman who had touched the fringe of his garment, and she had to bow so low to get there, when this woman knew that she couldn't hide any longer and she had to make public what was wrong with her, she said, "It was me, Lord." She's a very humble lady, very humble. All her distress went away. He said, "Your faith, because you believed me, your faith has made you whole. You've become a new person." And we read here in the Word of God that while he was speaking, this woman was healed immediately. Now, I'm of the persuasion that a lot of quote-unquote faith healers are charlatans, and I won't listen to most of them. I think it's foolish to spend the time, and I'll tell you why. Because they're looking for money, looking for prestige, looking for somebody to pat them on the back. Jesus did not do that. And notice, when he heals immediately. It's not a partial healing. He doesn't say, "Now you've got a demon or several demons, and we've managed to cast out five or six of them. Come next week and we'll cast the rest out." He doesn't say that ever. He says to the evil spirit, "Get out, shove off." And the evil spirit, as in the man in the Gadarenes that we looked at in our last study, had to run out and get away from him. In that instance, they ran into the pigs. The pigs ran down the side of the mountain, and they went off the cliff, and they went into the sea, and they were drowned, and the evil spirits had nowhere to go. They were tormented. Well, now we find the Lord Jesus saying to this woman, "Look, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And one of the most beautiful things that can happen to any of us at any time is to know the peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace that comes in. Oh, I've had friends my own age when I was a younger man, and they died, and we wept, and we were sorely tried. But if you read the scriptures, you will find that John Baptist had his head chopped off, just as they're doing the same thing in that same part of the world today. These people have never become civilized. They've never changed their attitudes. They still cut people's heads off. It's a dreadful thing that they do. Notice also that John had someone with him. That someone was Jesus. I believe, for instance, that when Moses went to the bush that was burning, it wasn't the bush that was burning and spoke to him that he was impressed with. He was impressed with the fact that the Father was speaking to him and he spoke to Moses. It's an interesting thing. He says, Moses, get your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. You're standing in the presence of Almighty God. And there was no figure of Jesus there, just a flame. It's very interesting to notice that when God was so fed up with humankind, because humankind had served him very badly, they had sinned and sinned and sinned, and their sin was mounting up, and he flooded the world. There was this great flood that took place, and only 8 persons got out of that flood. And the animals that went 2 by 2 into the ark, they survived. It's interesting, isn't it, that when the Lord Jesus comes again, there's nothing to put out the fire. And the fire will come from heaven. And the Lord Jesus will be the initiator of that fire. And the fire will burn and there will be no remedy. No matter whether you're American, Russian, or what, there will be no remedy. The armies from Gog and Magog will come down from the north, which is Russia, and the people around you will crowd in upon you, which are the people of the Arabian states. But the Lord Jesus will come in his glory and his matchless glory at that. And he will stand and he will show people who's really in charge, and the fire will come. Well, let me take you on from there. Now we go back to the man whose girl is dying. Somebody comes rushing from the house and says, tell the teacher not to come. She's already died. He's given up. And the people that are near to that man and to that people of the synagogue or church, if you like, they've all given up and they've all accepted the fact that this 12-year-old is dead. And Jesus says, that's okay. Don't worry. She's not dead. She sleeps. And they laugh Jesus to scorn. Now, most of the things I've just said to you since you've been listening to this program are laughable. And people mock us. They mock, they laugh because Jesus has the power. But they don't see that power. Because if man can't create enough power to make things happen, if we can't politicize everything that comes across the bowels of our lives, we seem to think that we're in charge and we have our future to hold. Listen to your TV. Listen to the advertising about what are you going to do when you get old? Well, you're going to be without money if you don't stick this much money away. One man came on not long ago and he said, when I was a young man, why, $100,000 would see me through until my death and it would pay for my funeral and I'd be fine. Now I need $5 million. Well, that's a silly equation to get involved in. Why don't you give all your money away? Why don't you trust the Lord Jesus to keep you in your old age? Why don't you just take the time to realize that God is not foolish? He knows the beginning from the end. He knows when you sit down and when you stand up. He knows when you are ill and when you're fit. He knows you where you are as you are. And if you will only ask him, you'll hear the good news. Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. I will come to you, said Jesus, if you'll let me. So we have these people laughing at Jesus, and people who call themselves Christians today laugh at the principles of God. Do you laugh? Do you doubt that God is on his throne? Do you doubt that he is Almighty God? Do you doubt that he is all-powerful? Do you doubt that this great God of the Hebrews, the God of the creation, this great God of ours, who can send his only begotten Son into the world to suffer for our sin and to die because of our sin, can wash us as white as snow? Do you doubt that? Then you've not received him as your Savior, and you need to think about it. Well, Jesus said to the girl that was supposedly dead, child, arise, or hey, kiddo, get up. Time to get up. And of course she rose. She got up. Her spirit returned, and she got up immediately. And he gave orders for something to be given her to eat. Now let's notice something in this little verse. It's verse 55. The Lord Jesus knew this girl needed some sustenance. She needed help. And he knew that the people around her could give it to her. So he said, feed her. There's something you and I have to do. We have to treat God as God. We have to come into the place where we sing, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. There is something that is required from us. It is humility. You know, to repent of sin is a humbling experience. This woman, who previously in this story had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and couldn't get any relief, why, she was in a real pickle. She couldn't go to church because the temple was closed to her because she had this hemorrhage. And she had to work hard to bring herself, because secretly she had touched the hem of the garment of Jesus. Secretly she had got behind him and reached out, and it was a gentle touch. She didn't want people to know what she was doing. But Jesus demands that if we are receiving him as our Lord and Savior, we tell others. And we talk about our salvation. We talk about our repentance. And the word to repent literally means to turn back our desires. Go to the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And that in the Hebrew could be translated very accurately, he turneth back my desires. We have desires that cannot be easily erased from our lives. But the Lord Jesus, giving us new life because he rose from the dead, this Lord Jesus, who is altogether lovely, and the fairest of 10,000, takes a hold of our situation, and our situation changes because we have humbled ourselves and called upon his name, implored him to come into our house, and begged him to sort out what we can't sort out. And sin is a very, very demanding thing. It darkens our souls, and it leads us into hell fire, if you want to say the words correctly, because sin that's unforgiven is the most dangerous of all sin. But if we come to Jesus, he rests us, He gives us new life. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. All that come to me shall never, never die. I'm sure many people do not believe that. But I do. And I believe the word of God because the word is God's word. And the good news of the word of God is this, that if I come to him, he will never turn me away. No matter what my condition, no matter what my desire, no matter what my need may be, if I come to this Lord Jesus, some of you today are weeping in your heart because your soul is not right with God for whatever reason, or you're just weeping out of grief. Now the Lord Jesus says, come to me and I will rest you. And I love that expression, I will rest you. If you go to the original language, it simply means as a mother nurses her baby and rests the baby in her arms, so he will rest you and nurse you and help you through the difficulty that is now facing you. Now, this is good news. This is the gospel working. Have you allowed it to work in your life? Are you rejoicing in the fact that you're a channel only because Jesus is Lord of all? Well, there's some thoughts for you to think about in this little piece of scripture. And the next time we get together, we'll see some more of this. The Lord bless you. Thank you for listening. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you will simply take hold of us where we are, how we are, that we may know that your presence is more powerful than anything else. We ask this in your name. Amen.